Ephesians chapter 4, quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. The word thanks, thankful, thanksgiving appears over 100 times in your Bible. There are a number of Hebrew words, Greek words. This morning we're going to do a word study on thanksgiving, being thankful. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, we find the words walk worthy. There are five different walks that we're told to do here in chapters 4 and 5. Walk worthy is the first one, and it's talking about walking with humility, meekness, and patience. We turn over to chapter 4, verse 17, and we have a second walk in the negative. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Talking about in our unsaved ways, we shouldn't walk, but rather we're to walk like Christ. And in those verses, we're told to put off the old man, put on the new man. And then there's a third walk found in chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love. And basically, as you go through those verses, it's an aspect of putting off all kinds of moral impurity and putting on righteousness. And the fourth one appears down in verse 8. He says, for you are sometimes darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. And there we're told that we are to able to be wise in knowing what activities we should participate in, what actors we should participate with. And then finally, we come to the fifth walk mentioned here. And that's found here in verse 15. And you've heard me preach a number of messages about you and I fulfilling our God-given duties. The primary one for a wife is to submit, husbands to love, children to obey, as found in chapters 5 and 6. But prior to those duties, we have this important doctrine that if you and I will walk in these five steps that we just talked about, we can be filled with the Spirit of God. But this is like the left hand washing the right hand. You can't walk in these five steps unless you are filled with the Spirit of God. You walk in this way, you can be filled. You got to be filled to walk in this manner. Well, the fifth one will include our word about being thanks. Let's take a look at it. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right, now how can you and I be redeeming the time? How can we be walking circumspectly, carefully? How can we do this? Well, here's what he says. He gives us two thoughts. Verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If we're going to accomplish this task, we got to understand what the Lord's will is. But along with understanding what God's will is, there's another aspect. And, verse 18, be not drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by wine, but be controlled by what? We're in success. But he says, I want you to be controlled, be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you and I are wise, if you and I not only have the wisdom of God, but we're walking in that wisdom, it's going to be evidenced in this passage by at least three very obvious ways. First of all, there's going to be joy in our life. Speaking, verse 19, to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yes. And we jump down to verse 21, there will be submission. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But it's this one in the middle that I want to talk about this morning. If you and I are walking in the Spirit, if you and I are walking in these five aspects of walk, it will also be seen with this, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the particular Greek word. I put it on your sheet that we're studying today. You see it in male form, female form, and neuter form. Eucharisteo. And I showed you the different ways in the King James Bible that it's translated. One of the primary ones being given thanks. Over 26 times, all right? Now, in this particular verse, let's see what we discover about giving thanks. For example, here in verse 20, when should we give thanks? And the congregation answered, always. All right? What should we give thanks for? For all things, everything. And by the way, our reading this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything gives thanks. Why? For this is the will of God concerning us. Yes. And then finally, who should we give thanks for? Unto God. All right. Now let's rate ourselves here just for a moment about our thankfulness for this past year, past week. Maybe that's all the further we can remember. Yesterday. First one, hey, I get a 5. I'm always, always thankful for all things unto God. That's me. Maybe you're this one. Usually thankful for most things unto God. Probably the majority of us maybe fall there. Or maybe it's a 3. Often thankful for many things unto God. Now, okay, I feel comfortable there. Oh, I hope you're not down in 2. Seldom thankful for few things unto God. Oh, and then there is 1. Never thankful for anything unto God. Now, most likely you fall in one of those categories this morning, right? And you say, I'm not absolutely sure where I'm at. I think I'm here. Well, then do this interesting exercise. Ask your mate where you fall. Not now, because I don't want to have any arguments and fightings going on. I want to have your attention up here. But later on, you can ask your mate which one of those you fall into, all right? Because hopefully, as a result of today's message, we're all going to excel a little bit more at being thankful, especially during this coming week. But I want to talk to you, and there really are just 2 points here in your outline. You can see them. There is the power to be more thankful, and then the process of being more thankful. But let's talk about the power of being more thankful. Now notice on your sheet how I write this. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is and be filled with the Spirit. And you know where I took that passage from, because we just read it here in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, how is it that you can understand what the will of the Lord is and be filled with the Spirit? I'm going to share with you 2 different prayers. Come back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I shared this prayer with the men yesterday at men's prayer breakfast. They had 6 guys out, had a good time, a fellowship, and we'll be doing it again this coming month. Hopefully you'll be able to come and participate with us. We're going to start a little bit later, like at 7:30, but we'll be having another prayer breakfast this coming month. But let me just share with you a passage that I gave to them. Now, what are we talking about? How can you understand what the will of the Lord is? One of the things you've got to do to understand what the Lord is put your hands together and pray. You need to be praying, asking God to help you in this manner. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's begin our reading, Ephesians 1. Look at verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love unto all the saints, faith and love, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you my prayers. Well, Paul, what were you praying for this church about? That, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When was the last time you prayed for yourself, you prayed for your mate, you prayed for your children, that prayer? That the Father of glory would give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you don't think that's something needed, all you got to do is look at our elections of recent. You think people don't need the wisdom and knowledge of God? And now look at the next verse. What's the next one? And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And then he goes on and tells them that they might know three things. And basically, it's knowing about God's salvation of them before, God's salvation of them in the times to come, and God's salvation of them right now. But the point I'm sharing with you, he is praying that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He is praying that their understanding would be open to them. You say, oh, if there's something I need to be, if I'm going to be more thankful, because one of the outflowings of these walks, especially this walking circumspectly, of understanding what the will of God is and being filled with spirit is necessary for me to be thankful. All right, but now watch. Turn over me a page. Ephesians chapter 3. I give you some other references, and you can certainly look them up too. But here's another one. We talked about the aspect of understanding. We just saw that prayer. Now watch Paul's prayer here about being filled. Now he prays a couple other things, but he does pray about the filling. I'm in now in chapter 3, I'm looking at verse 14. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And what's he praying? Verse 16, 1. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, watch, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And then secondly, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So he's asking that they would be strengthened with might by the spirit in the inner man. The spirit in them. Christ dwelling in them by faith. Now listen, if you're filled with the spirit, if you have Christ filling you up, I'm going to tell you what the results are. Let's read on. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, here's the first that ye being rooted and grounded in love, here's what you're going to be able to do. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. All right, you need to comprehend that, but this is something else you need. You need to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And I've told you a number of times that the first thing that the devil attacks in your life is to cause you to doubt God's love for you. If you went into discouragement this week, I'll tell you right now how it came about. The devil was able to convince you that God didn't love you. Some way he wasn't loving you. And that's as old as when the devil approached Eve. Hath God said, you can't eat at every tree? You need to be praying. Yeah, that God would fill you with the fullness of his spirit. That Christ would be in you, dwell in you, in your hearts by faith. As evidenced by the fact that you're rooted and grounded in love. Believing God loves you. Comprehending the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of God's love for you. Knowing his love for you, which passes knowledge. And then watch this one. Here's why I brought you here. And that ye, oh yeah, that you would know his love, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Pray for your family. Pray for yourself that God would bless you with the ability to know how much God loves you. That God would bless you with his filling, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So there's a need for you to be praying for those things, all right? But secondly, turn over with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, it's wonderful that you would pray these prayers. But there's a second aspect. Remember we talked about the walks? You got to walk the walk. You know, we talk about talking the talk. Well, you got to walk the walk. If you walk the walk, you're going to be filled. If you're filled, you're going to walk the walk. But watch this now. I'm reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 3. I mean, he comes right out and tells us what the will of God is. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now watch this, that ye should abstain from fornication. That ye should do this. Number two, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence as the Gentiles which know not God. And then thirdly, he says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified, for God's not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. But you see, there's a practice here. Now you and I need to be praying, oh God, help me to be pure. But then you got to practice it. You got to abstain. You got to know how to possess your vessel. You got to not defraud another by moral impurity. Now that's your practice. But let me also show you. That's pretty good. The Ephesians passage about the walks, the corresponding passage is in Galatians chapter 5. Now we got the flesh warring against the spirit, and it talks about the works of the flesh, and it talks about the works of the spirit. And in that, we see some other things other than the ones we just named about joy, about aspect of submission, and what we're talking about today, being thankful. But I want you to know something else. I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, because we're going to look at this word again. We saw it in Ephesians, but I want you to see it now in our passage in Colossians chapter 3. Our word thanksgiving, all right? Now, chapter 3 is a marvelous chapter. That's a chapter also telling us we got to practice, right? Tells us, hey, we got to be mortifying our flesh, verse 5. Tells us things that we've got to be putting off, verse 8. All right, anger, wrath, put those things off. Then it begins telling us what we ought to put on in verse 10. Put on that new man. And he's going down through there, verse 12. He said, I want you to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Oh, he tells us all these things that we ought to be putting on. And then he says this in verse 14. Yeah, and above all these things, I want you to put on charity. Put on love, which is in the bond of perfectness. Now watch. Then he says this. And here's the point I want you to know, understand. If you and I are going to understand what the will of the Lord is, if you and I are going to be able to walk in the Spirit, you and I must let the peace of God rule in our hearts. You and I must let the word of Christ dwell in us. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And here's our word, be ye thankful. Next part. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we're doing this morning. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whether we're letting the peace of God rule in us, it is connected with thanksgiving. Whether we're letting the word of Christ dwell in us, it's connected to giving thanks. Giving thanks. Now, how can you let the peace of God rule in you? How can you let the word of Christ dwell in you with thanksgiving? Well, let me show you. First, we're going to talk about prayer. Two things we've talked about, prayer and practice. Come back with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, a very familiar passage to us. You have it already marked in your Bible because I've preached it over the years, this outline. How can we have the peace of God ruling us? How can we have the God of peace ruling in us? Because both of those phrases are used here. Well, first of all, there ought to be a spirit of praise. We have to practice praise. It says, hey, rejoice in the Lord how often? Oh, that's it. Always. And again, I say rejoice, verse 4. Well, there's got to be some patience. Let your moderation, let your patience be known unto all men. Why? Well, the Lord's at hand. And then thirdly, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, here's our word, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I've shared with you at different times how you and I can go in the prayer closet and come out worse than what we went in with. And the reason why, because we forgot that with thanksgiving. Your prayer closet has got to be filled with thanksgiving. Otherwise, I'm telling you, you'll come out worse than you went in. But, okay, there is the praise, there's the patience, there's the prayer. And what comes with all this? Well, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's what happens to us. When we start having sinful feelings and sinful thoughts, we go down, down, down in our thinking and in our doing. And we lose the peace of God. You want the peace of God? Passing all understanding, keeping your hearts, keeping your minds. Well, you've got to praise God. You've got to be patient. You've got to be praying. And then he says this, you've got to be pondering. What do you think on? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Then he says what? Think on these things. Ponder on them. So I'm saying to you, there's got to be prayer, as we saw, especially in verse 6. You got to be praying if you want the peace of God. But there's also got to be the practice. You can't just be praying. You've got to be practicing. And why do I say that? Well, look at verse 9. These things we just talked about, which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Practice them. And what? And the God of peace shall be with you. He's promised not only the peace of God, but he's promised us the God of peace. But how do they come? By you and I praying, by you and I practicing. That's how they come. Now, let me show you this in one more reference, if I may. Come over with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, another great prayer. And you'll see both of these applicable to you and I. If you and I are going to understand what the will of the Lord is, if you and I are going to be filled with the Spirit, it takes two things. You and I have got to be praying, and you and I have got to be practicing. Let me show you this prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. Now here we go. What are they praying? That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Praying for wisdom, understanding. Praying it, praying it, praying it. But listen, I'm telling you, just because you go to bed with your head on the Bible, praying it, that's a good start. But there's got to be the practice. Look what comes next. First, oh, that you could be filled with the knowledge. Second, verse 10. That you might, oh, there we go again, walk worthy. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then he gives us these four present participles, four things that you and I are to be continually doing, continually walking. And what are those four things he's praying? Well, yeah, you ought to be filled with his wisdom. Then you ought to be walking. And what does that involve? Well, first one, being fruitful in every good work. Second, increasing in the knowledge of God. Don't be content with what you know. Thirdly, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, oh boy, with joyfulness. And then the fourth present participle, what are we to be doing, people? Continually giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into his kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. But in this prayer, you see the twofold aspect, wisdom and walking. Praying and practicing. You say, oh, how can I be more powerful with my heart of thanksgiving? Pray for it. Practice it. All right, now, next point. Going to be a lot shorter than the first point. What's the process? Well, basically the process, and you can come with me to Matthew chapter 15. We'll stay in Matthew here for these next two points, just to make it easy for us. Matthew chapter 15, you see you've got some other references that you can use. But let's practice being more thankful. You know how a good start? For your food. Thanksgiving, before you tear into that turkey or lamb or whatever you're eating, before you do that, offer up a word of thanksgiving. Practice praying, giving thanks to God before you eat. Here we have the feeding of the 4,000. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 36, and he took the 7 loaves and fishes, he gave thanks, broke them, and he gave it to his disciples, and his disciples to the multitude, and they did eat and were filled. They took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. Pray, pray. When they had the feeding of 5,000, same thing. He was offering up prayers and thanksgiving. When Paul was on the ship and he offered up thanksgiving for the meal that they were about to partake. Remember, they're about ready to be shipwrecked. And he's praying, asking God to bless the meal. When they had a meal on special days, Romans 14:6, you know what they were doing? Giving thanks, giving thanks. When eating a feast, 1 Corinthians 10, they gave thanks. When eating about what God created, God told us to eat all things in 1 Timothy 4. They were given thanks for it, given thanks for it. And then also the Lord's Supper. What do we do? We're right here in Matthew. Let's take a look at it. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Yeah, give thanks for the spiritual bread, for the physical bread, but also give thanks for our spiritual bread. In Matthew 26, verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus, he took the bread, and he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, take heed, this is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When Christ partook of a meal, he gave thanks. Now, in this realm of the aspect of him spiritually giving of himself, we need to give thanks. Give thanks. Now, secondly, be more thankful. Be more thankful for the goods that God's given to you. An easy way to start is about your meals. We've gotten slack. Christians, I believe, have gotten slack concerning this, and we need to get back to it because it's a reminder that everything that we have is from God. And then secondly, practice being more thankful for God's gifts. Let's take a look at Luke. Luke 17. And, of course, the first gift we're talking about is our salvation. Luke, not here. This is about our physical blessings. Let's take a look at that. Thankful for our physical blessings. Luke 17, verse 11, came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee heal, or made thee whole. Listen to me. Some of you haven't had a thing like having your heart healed, but you've had some great healings. Most of us in this room, some way, somehow. Most of us probably had COVID. Hey, we're still living, aren't we? Thanks God. Give thanks to God for just your physical blessings that you have for him. I mentioned on your sheet, giving thanks from the penalty of sin. Let me just show that to you. And not only the penalty of sin, but come over there with me in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, he's giving thanks not only from the penalty of sin, but also for the power of sin over him. He says it like this. I'm in 2 Thessalonians. We'll be in a moment. And he says now, in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, Paul does, but we're bound to give thanks. Now, what's he giving thanks? Always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now watch. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given thanks. He's given thanks for them and their salvation from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. Look at the next verse. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. So listen, you ought to be given thanks for the salvation of different individuals, but give thanks for their sanctification. Listen, I have seen many fall away over the years. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago. 10, you know, we had 180 in this congregation. And it's not just this church only. But every church I'm listening to, every time I hear about them, they're now 40, 50. Where there used to be maybe as many as 500. The church Pastor Barlow went to out in Michigan, they were at like 500. But it blew up. Listen, so you want to give something thankful to. You look around and you see those children of yours who are still standing firm. Wow, give thanks. Give thanks for them. Because there's a lot of children that have fallen away. The second generation, third generation, they're falling away. Give thanks. When you see someone standing firm, standing fast, my goodness. And then also from the penalty of sin, power of sin, also present sins. But I'm going to skip over that one. Let's talk about one more thing. Practicing being more thankful for man's good works. Let's just take a quick look at that. Romans 16. You know, yes, give thanks to God for those who have been wonderfully and gloriously saved. For those who are hanging in there, still fighting a good fight of faith. But now let's talk about also giving thanks for Christians who are doing and performing good works. Watch this. I'm in Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. He says, all right, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have, for my life, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They were giving thanks for Aquila and Priscilla. for their faithful labor in the Lord. Not only how they administered to Paul, but to others. You want to have a spirit of thanksgiving this coming year? Start giving thanks, more thanks, for those individuals who you see performing the works of Christ. Also, come with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now this is, we've kind of hit upon this, but watch. I'm in verse 3. We're still looking at our word here, thank. I thank my God, Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Philippians. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. What? For your fellowshipping in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's a concept about being thankful. Being thankful for those who are fellowshipping with you in the gospel. Look out amongst us. Be thankful for this group. Be thankful. And then one more thing. Let me just show you this. Philippians, let's go over to Colossians. Just a few pages over. Colossians, once more. Let's take a look at what reference? Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Here are two things that you can always be thankful for. You ready? We, verse 3, give thanks. There's our phrase. To God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, praying always, okay, for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love which you have towards all the saints. And for the hope that's laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So he's saying, I'm giving thanks for your faith. I'm giving thanks for your love. I'm giving thanks for the hope that you have. Look, we know we praise our children for how good looking they are, for how smart they are, for all their great athletic abilities. If you want to thank God for something, you thank God for the faith of individuals. You thank God for the love that those individuals have, for the hope that they have in the blessed resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's put them in the form of some principles as we close today. Ready? Principle number one, you know what? I purpose to seek the power to be more thankful. You know how you can do that, people? By praying to God. Pray for it. Pray for it. You say, oh, so my wife, she doesn't have a thankful bone in her body. And then I'd say to you, well, how many hours you spend praying for her to have a thankful spirit? Pray. Principle number two, I purpose to seek the power to be more thankful. You know how? By practicing one of the walks found in Ephesians 4 and 5. All right? Or, hey, I purpose to seek the power to be more thankful by practicing the following aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And I give you Galatians 5. We talked about the passage there in Ephesians 5, but I give you Galatians 5. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Pray by practicing one of those things: love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. And then finally, number four, I purpose to practice being more thankful for God's, hey, his goods, for his gifts that he's given. Well, how about for man's works of faith and love and hope, huh? But you can fan your spirit of thanksgiving. Yes, you got to be filled with the Spirit. Yes, you got to walk in the Spirit, which comes by prayer and practice. But you can do it, and you can do it by practicing these things, by practicing prayer, by practicing giving thanks. Some people you know are just, they write notes and thank you notes all the time. And you think, man, why don't I do that? Well, start doing it a little bit more often. You know what? If you just practice one a day, you know what? I'm going to look. I'm going to keep my eyes open. And today I'm going to give thanks to somebody. And you see them do an act of kindness. Hey, I saw you do that. That was. I thank God for that illustration you just gave me. That example you just gave me. Let's fan this coming year the spirit of Thanksgiving. We can do it. We can do it. If we pray and we practice. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the thanksgiving that you have given to us. And yet we acknowledge today, Lord, in a spirit of humility, we're not perfect. We have not gotten to the pinnacle that we give thanks always for all things unto God the Father. We haven't quite reached it, Lord, but we pray that you, by your grace and mercy, would instill in us not only the desire, but the doing of your good will in this matter, that we will be found more faithful about praying, that we would be found more faithful in practicing giving thanks. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.